Really, really excited. Over the last year or two, we've seen a real shift in our own church here around hospitality, and I have had nothing to do with that. It has been driven and pastored and preached by Amy Braun, and I'm so thankful to have her come and now preach on the power of hospitality. So please welcome her.
Good afternoon. When you hear the word hospitality, I don't know what you think. Like we were saying last night around the idea of culture, it probably conjures up a whole range of things in your mind, from your grandma's cookies to bad church coffee. But today, I'm speaking not as one who has this hospitality thing all figured out. And in some respects, I'm preaching to the choir because there are people in this room who have journeyed and modeled the gospel in this beautifully for decades before I was even born. But as someone who has been on a journey over the past few years of learning that hospitality is more than just having friends over for dinner every once in a while, I'm excited to share what the Lord has been showing me from his gospel around this idea of hospitality. That when we partner with Jesus in his idea for hospitality, there is a great deal of power. So what is hospitality? If we're going to talk about it, I want to make sure we're all on the same page, because what our culture says about hospitality and what the gospel says about hospitality are actually two profoundly different things. We have a cultural misconception that says that hospitality should be entertainment or being entertained. Disney movies, Beauty and the Beast, be our guest, be our guest. I mean, it's just so deeply ingrained in our culture. You don't have to look far to see this idea of hospitality as entertainment. If you've ever been to a hockey game, where do you want to be? In the hospitality suite. I spent my teenage years working at Cheltenham Racecourse, silver service waitressing, serving champagne to the rich and famous. In the name of hospitality. Hotels come under this umbrella of the hospitality industry. And even the church has its own brand of hospitality culture. Coffee hour, greeters, parking attendants. Just kidding, we definitely don't have those here. But in the church, hospitality often has a minimal and moral component. It's a nice extra if you have a little bit of time or resource, and it's rarely viewed as a spiritual obligation or a dynamic expression of vibrant Christianity. In another time and place, we would have been completely dependent on hospitality. If you've traveled to another nation, maybe one in the developing world, you'll know that hospitality is your very life. It's how you sleep, it's how you eat. And yet here we buy meals, we book hotel rooms, it's self-serving, and hospitality is largely about our pleasure. It's even been used for gaining power and influence. You host people well because you want to get something from them. You want to win them over. And so this weekend, as we're spending our entire long weekend looking at this theme of Christ and culture, how do we reclaim a gospel culture of hospitality in our own lives and in our churches? Henry Nouwen said, if there is any concept worth restoring to its original depth and evocative potential, it is the concept of hospitality. So let's define this in light of the gospel. In light of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and return, Christian hospitality is the intentional, responsible, and caring act of welcoming those who are strangers, enemies, distressed, lonely, or in need without any regard for reciprocation. So why? Why would we even bother to care about this or take 20 minutes on a Saturday afternoon to talk about it? Well, firstly, it's a recurring theme in the gospel narratives. When we see a theme that recurs, we should probably pay attention. In Matthew 8, verse 20, we learn that Jesus himself is homeless, which says something about the importance of hospitality. Jesus was totally dependent on it. In our familiarity with the gospel, we often lose sight of that. Once Jesus began his mission, we actually don't know if he ever spent another night under the same roof again. Matthew chapter 10 is like a handbook on how the disciples should act to, as strangers and guests as they go around preaching. Jesus is giving them instruction on how to host and be hosted. Clearly, it's something that's important to Jesus. Secondly, Jesus instructed it. Those who turned to Jesus found welcome and rest and the promise of reception into the kingdom. But in return, Jesus urges hosts to open up their banquet tables and their dinner tables to more than just family and friends. He urges them to open up their tables to those who could not return the favor, to give a generous welcome to the poor and those who had little to offer in return. Thirdly, it's serving Jesus himself. Jesus promised that when we welcome the stranger, when we feed the hungry, and when we visit the sick, they are personal acts of kindness to the Son of Man himself. Fourthly, Paul tells us to pursue hospitality. It was a qualification for leadership in the early church. The book of Hebrews tells us that we may be entertaining angels when we host those that we don't know. I could go on and on and on. But where I want to zero in and focus for a few moments is that hospitality is, in and of itself, the very nature of God. Hospitality is at the very center of what it means to be a Christian. It is a lens through which we can read and understand much of the gospel and a practice by which we welcome Jesus himself. At the heart of believing in the gospel is the affirmation that we were once strangers and enemies to God and have now been brought into relationship with God through the most beautiful act of divine hospitality. At the heart of our salvation is hospitality. The more clearly we see and understand ourselves as having once been strangers and enemies to God, as having once been far from God, wandering and lost and alone, the more we see that that was us once, the more we see and acknowledge our motivation for functioning and walking in hospitality towards others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 holds this language of how we were once aliens and strangers, and we are now citizens and members of the household of God. Recipients of hospitality is our testimony. Hospitality is the very nature of our Father. When we were lost and wandering, he pursued us, he loved us, he welcomed us in, he fed us, he brought us home. Into relationship, into fellowship, and into communion. We know from the creation narrative in Genesis that we are created in God's image. We are created to bear his image, to carry him out and around in the world, to be him. We know that if we are baptized into Christ, that we are united into him and his very nature is ours. That means that the very nature of the hospitality of God is in you. It means that in uniting yourself to Christ in baptism, there is a grace that is deposited in you to pursue, to love, and to welcome others into the family of God in the same way that you were pursued and welcomed. Now, if you're sitting here feeling like this is the middle of the 3 p.m. session and you don't own a home and you can't bake cookies, and this woman's probably going to start talking about that in a minute, hear this. Your qualification to function in the power of hospitality is not in your home ownership or in your ability to bake cookies. It is in your baptism. It is through your baptism that you are placed into the household of God. And from that place, you get to do this too. If this is our call, church, what does it mean to welcome those who wander among us? And so who is wandering among you right now? Who is hidden in plain sight? At camp a few years ago, we played a game where all the leaders had to hide and the kids had to find us. And I was the leader who was hidden in plain sight in the kitchen with Melissa and Rachel preparing dinner. And they couldn't find me, but I was right there. I was hidden in plain sight, but they were blind to the possibility that I needed to be found. Who are these people in your life right now? Who is dying of loneliness, bound by fear and anxiety? And what does it look like to welcome them in? So what can we do? I would like you to respond by way of a standing vote. I'm not joking. Do you live in a structure which has a roof on it and therefore have shelter over your head? Please stand. And if you're not yet standing because you happen to live in a tent or sleep in an RV in the parking lot right now, my second question is, do you eat food? Okay, great. Look around the room. You're in good company. We're called to this together. As a community of believers, as a church, we are called to this together. You can sit down unless you need a stretch. Church, this is so simple. Live your life. Live in your house. Eat your food. And invite people in. So often we've turned mission into this elusive thing that you have to spend $3,000 to get on a plane to go to Kenya to do. And don't get me wrong, that is one of my favorite things in the world. But I have found so much life and joy in using my four walls and my roof and the contents of my fridge for the goodness of the gospel. It is so ordinary, I almost feel embarrassed to be up here talking about it. It does not feel like a talk-worthy topic. But we have become so blinded to it in our culture. And I think Jesus wants to rewrite that today. Christian hospitality is so completely normal that it is fundamentally opposed to the industry that hospitality has become in our culture. It is not extra, it is not glitzy, it is not glamorous. It is you in your home living your life and saying, come with me and meet Jesus here. The Greek word for hospitality, which I'm not going to say or pronounce because I prefer Hebrew, is broken. Broken down, it literally means the love of the stranger. Loving those who are not like you. And that means loving those who are outside of these four walls. Anyone, lost, lonely, broken, poor, different culture, doesn't matter. If they're not like you, love them. In her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, Rosaria Butterfield introduces this concept she calls radically ordinary hospitality. I would commend that book to you, and if you want to read it and go for coffee, I would love to talk with you about it. She defines it as this: radically ordinary hospitality is using your Christian home in a daily way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors the family of God. Hospitality is a bridge of welcome that connects the stranger, the lonely, the poor, the broken, from where they are into relationship and subsequently into the family of God. In the early church, the gospel spread like wildfire. Where did it spread? Through homes. Paul traveled and was dependent on hospitality in homes, and it was to homes that people came to hear and experience the gospel proclaimed. Sharing meals and home and worship with people who look different to each other was proof to the culture that the Christian faith worked, that the Christian faith was real. Because people who were not like one another were eating together. Go figure. The household is the essential sphere for hospitality. It is the place that host and guest meet in a way that isn't duplicated in any other way. When we say, come to my house, we're saying something very different to come visit my city sometime or come hang out in my neighborhood. The level of intimacy that comes in a home cannot be duplicated in any other way. People see things about you that maybe you don't want to be seen. They see pictures of your husband without his beard before you were married 10 years ago. They see the hair in the bathtub, maybe. They may even see the skitters in the toilet that your husband didn't clean. He's not here. He's going to be really sad he didn't make it back from Calgary in time. But the truth is, homes are intimate and vulnerable places. And welcoming people into that place of vulnerability is incredibly powerful. This past week, Bishop Todd has been leading us as leaders through the accounts of the resurrection. And in John's account of the resurrection, we looked at where the disciples went immediately following the resurrection. They went back to their homes. Where did I just say the gospel spread through? Homes. What do we do on a Sunday, every single Sunday? We celebrate the Eucharist. What are we celebrating at the Eucharist? We are celebrating the resurrected Christ. We are celebrating the resurrected Christ around a table. And what do we do afterwards? We go home. We go home. We are literally carrying the power of the resurrection back into our homes every single week. So who needs to come home and be with us there? So who are the poor among you? Yes, the physically poor, and those might even be in hiding. Who are the poor in spirit, the brokenhearted, the lonely, anyone in need of Jesus? Remember what it feels like to feel lonely or to wander. And remember that your home is the church during the week. Your home is the sanctuary of God's presence. We have maybe 100 families in Via. I should know because I had to do a bunch of stats for the ACNA. So we're just going to widen that out, not just Via Lethbridge, Via. Maybe 100 families. That is 100 places of love and welcome and rest and sanctuaries of God's presence spread across the western part of this nation where people can encounter the love of God who pursues them through you and come into fellowship round your table every single day of the week. In our homes, we bring the love and grace of a God who loves and pursues to the people. If that is not one of the most powerful tools for mission that we have, then I'm not sure what it is. Do you eat? Do you live in a home? That's your mission. Invite people into it. It's not fancy. It's not an industry. It's not entertaining. Just make some grilled cheese and gather. Radically ordinary hospitality begins when we remember that God uses us as living epistles and that the openness or inaccessibility of our homes and hearts actually stands between life and death, victory and defeat for a lot of people. We stand as carriers of the saving power of Jesus, and will we use it? Our home, our ordinary 3-bed, 2-bath, 1050 square feet, 100-something-year-old house on the north side is a sacred place, and your home is too. Recovering hospitality will mean reclaiming our homes as a key site for ministry, not a place where we pull up the drawbridge, but a place that is open and welcome to those who need someone and somewhere. We have to fight against the cultural norm that our home is our castle and recognize it as one of the most powerful tools and vessels for ministry that God has entrusted us with. It is in the very ordinary day-to-day rhythms of our homes that the power of hospitality ministers the very grace of God to those who need it most. Where we humbly invite people in and serve their physical needs and draw them into relationship. Life doesn't stop for this. life is this. And so it's not all roses and unicorns and let's bring all these broken people into our homes and everything will be great, right? Kidding. Sustained hospitality requires a light hold on our material possessions and often a commitment to a more simplified lifestyle. It will be hard. It will be inconvenient. It will stretch your grocery budget beyond what you thought imaginable, and it will take your emotional energy pretty far too. You might eat lots of rice and lentils or popcorn or hot dogs. It requires an open heart, a willingness to make your life visible, and generosity of time and resources. To do this, you must be sustained by a strong prayer life and times of solitude and intimacy with the Lord. But I guarantee you will receive far more than you give. I can honestly say I feel closest to God at times of shared meals around our table, and even more so when there are people around that table who do not yet know the Lord. Acts of hospitality participate in and reflect God's greater hospitality and therefore hold a connection to the divine. Friends, we are on holy ground. People are hungry for welcome and invitation, but Christians have lost track of the heritage of hospitality. You do not have to be perfect. You do not have to have it all together. Your lives will be messy, but as followers of Christ, Jesus is at the center of our mess, and we can let people see Jesus in the middle of our mess, and maybe, just maybe, he would come into the middle of their mess too. Hospitality is necessary whether you have cat hair on your couch or not, because people will die of chronic loneliness sooner than they will die of cat hair in the soup. Rosario Butcherfield put it pretty perfectly. I personally hate cats, but there you go. So in conclusion, where do we start? We must ask Jesus to see. We must ask Jesus by his Spirit to reveal the people that are hidden in plain sight, in our very ordinary everyday lives, to reveal who those people are and invite them into our homes, invite them to fellowship around our table, and invite them into relationship. Who's there? The Father has strategically positioned you right now. And I guarantee even right now there's a face or a name or a situation popping into your head. Pay attention to that. And if you don't have friends outside of your church, go find some. Seriously, go and find something that you love and get plugged into it and get plugged into community there. I'm going to share a shocking and embarrassing statistic. 2 years ago, I did not have a single friend in this city outside of this church. I've lived in Lethbridge for 9 years. I am not proud of that. But if you are so busy with your church stuff, rearrange your life and get out into our city and be with people. And church, in the end, this is a practice. Hospitality is a practice. It's an action. And actions are dependent upon your will. And so we need Jesus to transform and renew our mind in a place, to a place where we will see, and not just see, but we will act. So church, you have the tools. You are baptized into Jesus. You are qualified. You have a home. You have food in your fridge. You have space. You eat. Even if you're serving spaghetti and curry leftovers on top of hot dogs, which definitely happened in my home less than a month ago, let's gather. Let's reclaim hospitality from its cultural definition or understanding that is self-serving, that is entertainment-focused, and bring it back to a gospel-centered, Jesus-modeled value of hospitality. Let's build bridges into the church using our homes. Let hospitality become a sacrament, a visible sign of God's grace, of his love in the world, laying our lives down one sacrifice at a time, humbly serving and meeting the needs of others. A meal delivered, a meal cooked, a lingering conversation over a cup of tea, hot dogs in the backyard, humbly serving hearts, lives, needs of others. Church, what could be possible? welcoming strangers and those in need into relationship with us and into the family of God. So let us let heaven come to earth in our homes and around our dinner tables. Let's try it. I guarantee it'll change your life. Amen.